looking down through verse 13, and he says these words: "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest," he says, "lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In other words, remember those words that we have to do. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, each time I stand in this pulpit, Lord, I thank you for these words to speak. I pray today will be no different than before. But maybe strive to be what we need to be. As Christians, as believers. Maybe those who are here today that may not have Christ in life, but today they come to know him as the Lord and Savior. This is why we preach. This is why we speak. May we apply this word today in our walk of life. Thank you for it. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. That first verse says to us, let us therefore strive. In other words, he tells us to enter the rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We are reminded in this text this morning that we must be very careful not to reject God's promises. When I think about when I read God's word, and I think about all the promises that I read, all the things that are listed to me, I always like to go back and say, okay, Lord, now, how does this apply to me? What is this going to do for me? How can I use this to help somebody else? When you think about the theme that runs through this book of Hebrews, and we just did a whole study in this, all the chapters, and finished it up. I could go back and ask questions about Hebrews, and I'd get about two or three answers maybe, and most people still wouldn't know anything about Hebrews. And it's sad because we don't take and apply what we hear. We only take bits and pieces and say, okay, does this apply to me or not? I want you to realize this morning that every word from Genesis to Revelation applies to you and to me. This is God's precious word. As I read to you, do you hide his word in your heart? Do you bring it back to remembrance to use it every day? To try to explain to somebody about what the scriptures say to us and how we're to live our lives today. When I look at this, it reminds me we must take care so that we don't fall into the same old trap that comes every day, it seems like. The devil is not your friend. The devil does not love you. He does not want to caress you. He doesn't want to take care of you. He just wants to hurt you and harm you in your walk with Jesus. And he can do a very good job of it because we as Christians today need to understand that we do not know enough about God's word to apply it when Satan comes our way. What does he say? Hide thy word in my heart. Bring it to remembrance where I can understand it to help somebody around me. Every day is not a perfect day. We know that because we are an imperfect people living in an imperfect world. Our lives reflect that when you see people around you today. You know, you come to church, we can act all holy, sanctified, standing above, you know, and saying, oh, look at me. Let me tell you what. When God looks at you, what does he see? How do you reflect to him? When he looks at your heart, what is your heart saying to him? My friends, these are questions you have to answer yourself because I can only answer myself just like you do. But rejecting God's promises, listen carefully, might be easier than we think because we can reject them by neglecting them. Did you hear that? It's easier than you think because we can reject it by neglecting it. And that's the hard part, isn't it? No, not me. I'm not going to do that. I'm the person that I need to be. I stand for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. It doesn't take much to neglect God's word. Hear me? Doesn't take much to neglect God's word. He tells us, turn with me to the book of John, please, chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to show you something. Because it tells us in this chapter about Jesus Christ and about what he did when he came into the world. And sometimes I think we lose the concept here of what he's trying to tell us. He talks about in the beginning. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you something. In the beginning was who? Jesus Christ. there. He is the Word. He is with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. Now, as you look down to the next verse, he said this. The same was in the beginning with God. He was there with Him in the beginning. He is there now, and He will be there in the end. God's Word tells us that. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Not you, not me, not anything in this room was made without God. Amen. Amen? Sure it is. So we are what? His sheep, of His pasture. We're the ones that are to look to Him, to honor, to praise, and to glorify His most holy name. In Him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Let His light so shine through you that man may see that we're above what this world is today, that we are born again believers that love Jesus Christ with heart, mind, and soul, right? That's part of the relationship. That's what we're building every day. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended at night. And then it says there was a man that was sent by God whose name was John. Now, I like John the Baptist. How about you? He was a crazy man, amen? He ran in the wilderness. He was in the desert. He did all these things, you know. He always ate the food that nobody else would eat. Locusts and you name it, he had it. You know, he didn't look pretty. Long hair, beard, you know, funny-looking coat they said he had. Things didn't look good for John, but what did John do? John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ to tell the world there's one coming greater than I, and His name what? Was Christ. He did that. That was the word that he was given by God. That was the word he studied from the Old Testament. This is the word that you and I have today, is to tell the world that Christ lives today. The word teaches that. But what did the world do when they saw him? It says this. He said it was the true light that came into the world, that every man that comes into the world. He said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You hear that? The world rejected him. Now, if the world rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God, what do you think they think about us today as Christians? Huh? Because you and I are to be what they say, Christ-like. Amen? How many of us in here are really Christ-like? Huh? How many of us really walk the way we should, talk the way we should, do the things we should do for the Lord, and let His light shine through us to the world around us? Doesn't happen too often, does it? Why? Because we don't understand God's Word. Jesus came, they rejected Him, and He moved on, it says. What happened to Jesus? He was crucified for us. He was born, He said, in this world to do one thing. He said this in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, it says. He was the Word, He is the Word, He will always be the Word. That's Jesus Christ. So when you hold this Bible in your hand, remember this. You've got God's Word in your hand, but you've got Christ too, who lives in you through the Holy Spirit that indwells you. Now, if you look back with me just a minute to Hebrews again, and look at that verse 11, look what he said. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall away, he says, the same example of unbelief. How many people walk around today and just don't believe anything? Are not concerned about where they're going to be one day? When the life is over, where are you going to be one day? Are you going to stay here, or are you going to move on? Let me tell you what, none of us are going to stay here. We don't like that, do we? Some people think they're going to live forever. I'm going to live forever, but it's going to be in heaven, amen. Glorified body, I'm going to be with the Lord one day. But there are many who are going to die and go straight to the borders of hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. That unbelief they had, they were not concerned about Christ. And then they're going to wonder when they're standing before the Lord in judgment one day and He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, what are they going to think then? Well, Lord, give him one more chance. How many chances do we need? God always gives us another day if you're living, my friends, to open up to Him, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. The Word teaches that. We can all study John 3:16. Amen. How many of you know it? How many of you really know it? For God so loved what? The world. He gave what? That whosoever does what? Should not what? But have? You hear that? That's the only verse you really need to look at right now, because where are you? God loved the world. He gave His Son. He gave us a new life, a new beginning, and a dawning of a new day. And we need to take that to heart as Christians, just as well as telling the lost world out there. Because we need to apply it to who we are today. Because I think we forget about who God really is. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11 says a whole lot. I'm not going to read it all, but listen to this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I like that. He's given us all things. He's given us the life that we live. the knowledge that we have of him, who called us to be what? For his own glory and for his own excellency. In other words, we're here to glorify God for the excellency of what he's done for us through Jesus Christ, through the word, and through the life we live. See, that's what we're to do. When you're having difficult times in life, what do you do? Where do you turn? You pray, you seek God, you ask God to deliver. Let me tell you what, even if he doesn't do it the way you think it should be, we're still to glorify his holy name. We talked about that in Sunday school, okay? You're still to glorify his name. Why? Because whatever you go through in life is to help you, but maybe you think it's not helping you, but it's to help you, maybe to help somebody else. You don't know. But we go through a lot in life today, but he loves us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. See, God has granted us everything needed to grow. Now listen to this, in godliness, everything that we have, you and I can grow. How many of y'all planted your garden? Got your garden done? Coming up yet? Just a little bit, you know, the flower coming. How many of you planted all your flowers? Okay. As soon as you planted them, what happened? Cold front came, right? First thing you do is run outside and try to save them, right? Some of you go throw stuff over them, a little blanket or something, you know. Got to keep these babies warm, right? Don't want them to get cold. But then you go the next morning when you take it off and it's shriveled up anyway. And you cry like a baby, don't you? Why? Because you just spent all this money on these flowers and now they're dead and wilted. Let me tell you what. I don't care what you do or what you plant. It's only going to grow because God has given it a growth season. Amen. That's just the way it is. And the only way that you'll ever grow in your walk with the Lord is to remember that he will plant that seed. He will have that seed watered. He will see that seed grow, my friends, and he'll see people come to him as Lord and Savior. But it's all through God. You see, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter preached Pentecost, right? What happened? 3,000 souls got saved, and it said the Lord added to the church daily. I can't add one person to the church. Only God can. Amen? Amen? I can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can do it. He will get the what? Increase. And we'll say, look at what we've done. I always like the big churches. I ain't talking about small. I'm talking about big churches. You have the 5,000 and 10,000 member churches, you know, 20,000. It's a me church, you know, or an I church. Look at what I've done. Look at me right now. I got a friend of mine that got like that, a preacher friend, you know. And I told him, I said, you haven't done a thing. I said, God did it all through you. I said, you better remember that. It's not you. It's him. It's always him. And the word tells us that. That we are to be that light that shine. Let his light shine through us for those around us. You see, people today, well, it is true, my friends, we are also told that we must make every effort to stress to people our faith in Jesus Christ. For by faith are you saved through grace. Not of yourselves. Gift of God. If any man could boast. You see, now, if I could lay my hands on you, watch you jump, hoop, and holler, you know, when the Spirit gets on you, I'd say, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. Man, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Huh? You remember the little buzzers you used to get and put in your hand, you shake hands with somebody, and it zapped you real quick? Yeah, I need to have some of them, okay? Shake your hand and watch you jump, right? And I'll say, "Ooh, Spirit got them." Yeah. Y'all would wonder what's going on here, wouldn't you? Let me tell you what. God wants us to be faithful in his word. He wants us to love this word. Now, if you look at verse 12 of Hebrews 4, look what he says. He said, for the word of God is what? Quick. It's powerful. Boy, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing a son of soul and spirit into the joints and marrow. And is there a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart itself? My goodness. Striving for godly character. Working and moving ahead. When you think about a sword, right, you ever think about those swords they used to carry back in the days of the night? I mean, y'all think you could pick that thing up and use it? You see how big them things are? I have a little dagger. I wouldn't want to let that big thing, right? But he says right here, he said it's like a sword. It cuts coming and going. What does that mean? Boy, when the word hits you, what does it do? It gets all over you. Boy, it just eats you up. Boy, when God gets a hold of you, pulls you that way, what are you going to do? Man, you got to fall down and follow him. This. He said it's powerful, sharper, piercing, even dividing asunder. See, God's word is to pierce our hearts. God's word is to touch us in a way But we look at ourselves and say, Lord, I know I'm not like you. I need to make things right with you. Now, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christians this morning. Because we're not 100% what we think we are. Sometimes we think we are 110%. But we're not. Somebody asked me a question the other day. He said, y'all down here at the church working this week? I said, yeah. He said, how many were down there? I said, that was six of us. Six of you? I said, yeah. Me, myself, and I, and one other person. That was six of us. Yeah. That's how we look at life. That's how we look at life today. I have one Savior. Amen. One God and one Spirit. That's three of them. Amen. And they can do more just through one of them than all of us put together will ever do. And Jesus did more when he came into the world and gave his life to give us life than any of us will ever do. And the Spirit that lives in you is God indwelt in you through that Spirit. Gosh, if you think about the God Spirit living in you, that he's in this body, this fleshly body that he's come to live in, why in the world would he want to come live in this? Because this body is a phase. But God's Spirit is not a phase. God's Spirit is to uplift us. That would be generated to that person that God would want us to be. And a love relationship. And building that relationship. It's important that we have a proper understanding, even today, about the roles of the church. About salvation of each person today. Church working together with the Holy Spirit brings about sanctification of its members. And we are to work together to help each person in this church. To accomplish what God wants them to do, to help them along the way. This is God's word to us. But it's his word. His word. Use his word. Think about the steps in life. You ever read the church covenant? Have you ever read your Bible beliefs? And know what they really stand for and what they mean? And read the scriptures that go with it? You know? Well, yeah, I read it some time ago. I guess it said so-and-so. I guarantee you, most of you don't know what it says, do you? What do you believe in? Do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you believe that man is fallible? Do you believe that the devil, my friends, is out to hurt you? I mean, these are things that we talk about, but the fact is, do you really believe those things that God tells us in his word? Because we need to understand here that he says this, that everything we do, my friends, that we have to be able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, it says. When my heart is not right, I know it. When your heart's not right, you know it. What is the intent of my heart? Boy, if I left it out to me, it'd be to do no good. Amen. Huh? What did James 4:17 says? To know to do good and do it not is sin. Well, we know we're not supposed to do something. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. And all of a sudden we say, well, why didn't I do it? You ought to just take that and go home and take James 4:17 and say, to know to do good and do it not is sin. You ought to put that on your wall somewhere or hang it on the stove somewhere or whatever. But let me tell you what. You need to put it in a place where you can read it every day. How am I going to live today? What am I going to do with God's word today? How am I going to take and relate it to my life today? This is what God has for us to live. How about as individuals today? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10:19-23. Look what he says. Hebrews 10:19-23. It talks about an individual's life right here. In God's word and living God's word. Look what he said in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Okay? And then he went on to say, by new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. Through the veil, that is to say, the flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near, he said, with a true heart. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with what? What's the pure water? God's word, amen. The living word of God, the pure living word he talks about. That's what he says here. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. He said, don't waver in it. He tells us don't add to it, don't take away, take it as it is. You go to lunch today and you sit down. The first thing you get your meal in front of you. First thing you do, where's the salt? Where's the pepper? Where's the ketchup? Where's this? Why do you do that? Because you want some flavor, right? A lot of times you go and eat, you don't get too much flavor out of food, do you? Huh? You have to do all that kind of stuff, you know, fix it up. What did he say? It's the same thing with our walk of life today. Look what he said. And he said this, let us hold fast, profession of faith, unwavering, full of faithfulness. He's promised, he said this. And also he said, and let us, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. My friends, what you need to do is understand this. God can sprinkle you with anything he wants, but I want him to put more love in me. I want him to wash me a little bit more each day with his blood. I want him to take me and use me as an instrument that he would have me to be, and the mouthpiece he wants me to be, the spokesperson that can touch the hearts and lives through his precious words and see people change. That's what God wants. Change. I know none of us like change, do we? How many of y'all like change? None of you. Why? Goes back to something we talked about this morning. Takes you out of your comfort zone. Remember that in Sunday school? Y'all in Sunday school, remember that? Takes you out of your comfort zone. See? We don't like to be out of our comfort zone. We want everything to be, I'm right here. I don't want to be moved over here. One Sunday, I told everybody to move from the back down to the pews down here. You thought the wrath of God had come. Amen. My goodness. How hard it was to get up and move from one seat, or to move from here to there, or from back there to up here. Man, we just make it like, boy, it's a criminal offense. Amen. Not one pew you sit in belongs to you. It all belongs to God. Amen. Huh? But we make like it's ours, you know. I mean, you got your name on the back of it, okay? The fact is this. We don't like getting out of our comfort zone. We don't like anything that disrupts our way of life, our walk, our talk, or anything else, because we think we got it all right. Let me tell you what. We don't have it right. God's got it right. God's got it right. God will always have it right. Look at verse number 25. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see what the day approaching. My goodness, better days ahead, amen. There are better days ahead. What kind of days are coming? I can tell you what kind of days are coming. More hateful days, more hurtful days. Those days are coming. We're only getting a taste right now of what's coming. But I'll be glad when the Lord comes back, so I won't have to worry about any of it, amen. None of it. Because he tells me in his word, it means to us today, look, he says, I want to make progress in godliness. What should I do as an individual? That's a question, okay? What does it mean by which things take place? Well, it's like this. Peter tells us that we have everything we need for, he says, godliness. But what is it exactly that promotes godliness in our lives? What promotes that godliness? Being in touch with the one that can give us that. And that's God. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says. Then he says this. He says, strive to enter through the word, he says. Goes back to Hebrews 4:13. Now go back to 4:12 and 13. Look at it very quickly with me. He said this in verse 12. He said, the word is what? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-inch sword. Piercing, he said. That's soul and everything else in our spirit. But then I want you to look at verse 13. Because verse 13 just jumps off the page at me. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? Examine this is the first thing. Why? Because look who's looking at you. Look who's looking at you. Same one that's looking at me is looking at you. And see, we don't like that. You know, it would be really amazing if God just came to your house tonight or this afternoon, knocked on your door, said, you'll go to the door after you get up, you'll rest and go to the door. And you'll say, who is it? And the Lord said, it's me, it's the Lord. I want to talk to you. Going back getting to bed because you wouldn't believe it. Amen. Then he knocks again. And he keeps on knocking until you open that door, and then there he is in all of his glory. He's standing before you. And all of a sudden, what do you do? You just faint. You just faint. God's at my door. You know, I love commercials. Have you seen the one with the only computer and he got a business? The guy got the mustache. The only mustache. Guy comes home and he lays a pillow on the floor. And one lady after the the product starts to grow real fast. You know, she gets so excited she faints. You know, the guy knew that was coming. He knew what she was going to do. What would you do if God stood at your door today? Huh? You open that door and there he was. You'd do the same thing, I guarantee you. Your composure would change very quickly. You wouldn't be the same tomorrow as you are today, I'll guarantee you. You'd walk in this church, you'd be just like Moses and the rest of them. You've been in the presence of God. How would you act and react? I'll guarantee you, you'd have a smile on your face. You'd have a glow about you. You'd have a two-step order. You'd be double-stepping. Because you say, I've been in the presence of God. And people look at you and go, really? You know? They try to rain on your parade. But let me tell you what. If God's in the center of your life, nobody can rain on your parade because you got him in the center of your life. No matter what difficulties may come, God is there. Why? Because the Word of God is a living Word. 1 Peter 2:13 says this. 1:23 says this. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God, my friends, is not just written by men who are dead and gone from this place today, but they were written by men who were inspired by God to write the text. To write the text. And they wrote it for one purpose. So that God's message could be delivered to mankind, to us, that we may love it and cherish it. And this is what's really interesting. I don't care how many people help write this book, being inspired by God. Remember this, it was written by God. Yeah? It was written by God for you and for me. God has given that to us. The Holy Spirit's alive and well today, and he is living. And that's why the Word is called the Living Word, because it's alive. How can you not read God's Word and it's not alive to you? It leaps off the pages at you. It speaks to you in special ways. This is God's Word. You just take it for granted so much. You just take it for granted. Yes, this is God's Word. Okay, fine. How many of you got one of these with you? Every one of you here in this church that comes on Sunday morning should have a Bible in your hand. Every single one of you. And if you don't have one, I will get you one. I'll tell you right now. Why? Because you need to see God's Word and you need to read God's Word. And you just don't need to sit there and take everything I say and say, oh, well, that was good. You need to look at it. I'm not the type of person that likes the computers up here with all the stuff on the fancy board, you know. Because I want you to see in God's Word. I want you to read it from God's Word. And I want you to love God's Word. And I want you to hold God's Word in your hand, just like this. Say, this is God's Word. Right here. You see, this is what God has given us. This isn't a cheap book. This book and God's Word cost his son, his life, so that you could have life. That's why we read that in the beginning, God created. That's why we read about the love of God in Scripture. And that's why we take God's Word and use it. It's powerful and effective. If you really want to accomplish what God has in your life, he can do it if you're willing to be submissive to him, to be available to do what he wants you to do. Availability. We don't like being available, do we? Somebody calls you up, wants something done. I can't do it right now, you know. Then you pray they don't call you back again, amen. Because you don't want to take time out of your day to do something, right? The Word of God, my friends, is here for us. It hardens us, my friends. It softens us. It tells us where we are. But it does one thing. It accomplishes God's purpose in your life. That's what it's for. Accomplish God's purpose in your life. And last of all, it's this. His Word, God's Word, exposes us for who we are That's the part we really don't like. We don't like to be exposed, do we? That's why he said in that verse 13, the last part of it, look what he said. He said this. He said, but all things are naked and open, he said, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I thought that was a pretty good little phrase there. It opens us up. It exposes us. It gives a reality of where your heart is with God. It tells us all things. It tells us when we are falling into to a desert somewhere and where we shouldn't be. It reveals that unbelief that we have at times that's in our lives today. It does all of this so that we can have life, have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. But if I have anything to say to you this morning, it's this. For the lost people, the Word of God means absolutely nothing. For the Christian, it should mean everything. And if it means everything to you sometimes, like we say it does, then we need to act upon God's Word to tell the lost world as to how important God's Word really is as we live today. You see, the Old Testament talked about His coming. The New Testament talked about when He got here, when He died, and when He left. But it also talks about this, that He's coming again. This is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His word. Is it a light to you or not a light to you? Do you celebrate knowing that you're a Christian? Or do you hesitate to tell someone about your walk with Jesus? My friend, don't hesitate. Stand firm on that foundation and live as you should for the Lord. See, God's Word, perfect. And it will always be perfect. It will never fail. It will never hurt us or harm us. It will help us in perfection to be the person we need to be. Take the Word this morning and listen. Take it home and study. Come back next week, my friend, even a better feeling of what God has done this week coming up than He did last week. You see, your focus has to be not on you. Your focus has to be on Him. What He ended for you.